Dad's on the co-shed, and we're working out the play. All the cows are up their grazing, and the wind is on its way. I am a Blumble player, OCC is where I play. I am a Blumble player, it soothes all my troubles away.
Great. Well, hello, good evening, good day, and welcome to number two in our hopefully longest series of OCC Cidercasts. We're at Ethelred's Castle now, and I'm joined by two distinguished guests. Of course, on my left, as he is politically, Brother Kane. Hello there, how are you?
Hey guys, all right? Good evening.
And opposite me is a new coach, well, fairly new to the OCC. He coaches Pro Elves. He does live in Bristol, so we roped him in for this podcast. And it's Dee Von Doom. Hello there.
Hello. Hi everyone. How you doing?
We tried to convince Dee to stay in character and put on a gravelly voice for the podcast, but he declined. Okay, so first things first, we've got Pedant's Corner. So some people mentioned that after the first podcast, we got some things wrong. I know it's hard to believe.
It is unbelievable, but apparently we are not perfect.
Apparently we're not. I was very shocked. I had to have a good sit down. But what we found was that there have been consecutive winners of the OCC, but it did happen about 15 years ago, I think. Flix.
A long time ago.
I think it was Flix.
Back in like season two or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Season two. So, you know, it doesn't really count. It doesn't really count, I don't think, but I'm sure someone else will mention something for next week's Pedant's Corner to say that someone else has done it apart from Flix. I'm sure they have. But maybe some Chaos teams, Killer's Chaos. The Bear Hunters, maybe?
I don't think so. Back in the day. Yeah, it's possible. It's definitely possible.
If you're really interested, there is the records page, which I think has just come live on the new website. So if you want to have a look on there, and it'll give you all the sort of records you want to look at. Okay, so the next thing we want to get into is interviewing our guests. So hello, Dee. Thanks for coming on.
It's my pleasure, gents. It's really nice to be here.
As ever, what we want to do is have a quick story from you about how you got into Blood Bowl originally. So over to you.
It's not very long and not very interesting story, really. I played a tiny, tiny bit of tabletop way back in the 90s. I never thought about it again, but I was looking for an online game to play that was a kind of a war game and tactical and turn-based. I think I just stumbled across the Steam offer. I was like, you know what, Blood Bowl, I'll give that a spin. And the rest, as they say, is not very exciting history.
And which version of Blood Bowl was that? Was that
I think it was Chaos the most recent one. I think it was like, the Legendary Edition or whatever it was. It was just cheap on Steam when I bought it. It was this is all right. Yeah. It was like, five or something dumb. So, it was good. Actually, I enjoyed it a little more than I was expecting.
So with having played tabletop back in the 90s, were you like aware of all the odds and what the dice
was? Oh, no, man. I mean, when I say tabletop, I played like maybe three games against my mate. He was a dick and had a massive TV elf team against my like out of the box orc team, and I didn't even know what a blitz was, and it was just it was just pretty uninspiring. But I always had an interest want to play Blood Bowl, but just never really got around to playing it or learned to master the game. So it worked really well, and the Steam sale was actually a really good thing.
So you played single player for a while, or did you jump straight into multiplayer?
Oh no, I played single player for absolutely ages. In fact, the idea of playing multiplayer hadn't even crossed my bowels for ages. Mm-hmm. I played single player for about a year, which you kind of think I'd be a better player, but sadly not. I actually thought I was fairly gnarly because I never lost. and I was sadly disabused of that nation pretty quickly when playing online. But I just got so tediously bored of playing single player. Mm-hmm. I thought, you know what, I'm going to give multiplayer a go. It was really fun. Really difficult to get online, and I didn't know how the chat box worked, and it was all just really alien, but I persevered with it. That's kind of how I stumbled my way into it.
Great. And how long till you found OCC, or how did you find the OCC?
I think it was probably Zippy and Ark. I just got mega pissed off with Old because it's lame.
Terrible.
No offense to anyone, and Nag's not much better. But then I kind of tumbled into Mr. Hardwick and Orcs and kind of that sort of stuff, and that was good. And I thought, well, actually, maybe I kind of fancy playing a league. Kind of did a bit of searching, found OCC and another American league, but I thought, well, maybe an American league's going to be too difficult with the time difference. And,
yeah.
You know, and then I think I played Zippy one night and he piped up. The OCC was really good and he'd recommend me whatever, and I, you know, sort of tumbled my way into it like that.
Great. So how did you find... You mentioned that you got a bit disabused of how good you were when you joined matchmaking. So how did you find the sort of learning curve?
It's really harsh. I mean, it's just getting the concept of min-maxing and just the whole pylon, mighty blow, kind of just the whole... It's a deep game, actually, and it's a kind of cartoonish Games Workshop wargaming simplicity of it, but it's actually a fairly complex game.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's quite a lot to take in. Yeah, it was just really hard and just... painful, to be honest, to start off with.
Great. So how have you now got more of a grips of what the dice rolls you need are, and
I mean, it was very, very, very difficult. I have to say, I know it's not the time for shout outs, but I have to say, in terms of retention as a player, that the help from all the other pro elf coaches, great. I know the other people who contributed in the training ground thread made a massive difference, particularly reference to the pro elves. They're a tricky team to master in a lot of respect.
Same with that, really. Yeah. Why pros? Why did you choose those over the other races?
They're the best team. They look the best.
They have the best cheerleaders and the coolest parties. That's what I've heard.
Maybe they're a bit skimpy dressed for my liking. Yeah. Should be told.
As a married man, I don't obviously look at the cheerleaders close from that angle. Of course, see everything.
Makes sense. I don't zoom in at all.
I never zoom in. No, I'm not a zoomer.
I don't know why. I think it was happenstance, really. I don't know why, but I'm properly stuck with pro elves now. I can't imagine playing anything else. You know, I've tried in some of the Hardwick and stuff, playing other teams, and they just irritate me. Where's my nerves of steel? This is lame. So I'm pretty stuck with elves. But it was really hard work, definitely. I mean, just starting off playing online was really, really, really tough. It's just hard work, and then making the step up as a relatively new player to playing in the ACC was just painful.
I think it's a tough league to start off with, but I think you learn so much from the other coaches that you're playing. I think that's where it really shines, really. You do pick up so much more tactics, and for me personally, for positioning and just learning what to do next, really, what to do first, more importantly.
And I think probably no particular order, stuff that really made the difference was getting involved in the training grounds. I was halfway through my first season before I started posting in there, and that made a massive difference. Then picking up on some replays, watching some other coaches' replays, that was kind of a little bit hard because they're all like tier 1, tier 2, tier 3 teams, and if you've got a box fresh, really low TV team, you're like, but I don't have lead. I haven't got a selection of 85 flitzers. It's worth persevering with. And also, 1,000 losses. I think it was Crimson Sun pimping that. And I was like,
fantastic.
Oh, right, this makes sense. And also just learning the basics for the pro elf, you know, the handoff pass. It was like, oh, right, okay, that's how the king works. I see. Those things really, really made the difference.
Just, I haven't heard of 1,000 losses. So for anyone else that doesn't know, what is that?
It's nothing. Move along. It's an Elder Scroll that will melt your brains. No, it'd be churlish not to spread the love on that. But it was a PDF that Crimson Sun sent, and basically I think the clues are named 1,000 losses. It's just a really astute breakdown of the probabilities, and then sort of a tiered action. So, you know, I've just drilled it in. I know, you know, when I receive the kickoff, the first thing to do is make a free move to secure the ball. Then, you know, you look for those good 2D blocks with block, you know, then advance a scorer, then look for a 2D blitz, and then secure the ball. And little things like always trying to make sure that, you know, if the turn ended, that's how you want to finish. And just all this sort of stuff. And it doesn't look at offense so much, but it's certainly very beneficial with defense. And, you know, there's tricky ball positionings right on the line of scrimmage, and but it's more just an applied common sense approach to understanding the way the dice are working, and it's just made a massive difference. My results are picking up, and I recommend it for anyone, really.
Yeah, definitely. I mean I've read it and I found it just, it's so useful. I mean, I'm sure I said in the past, I'm not a square counter, I don't calculate the probability of everything, but with the 1,000 losses playbook and advice from other people, it just gets you really to think about actions you're going to take.
Yeah,
and you do the most, obviously, the ones with the highest probability first, and then subsequent ones a bit later on. So it's just getting that drilled down and not, you know, not done the odds. So that's got a 16.67% chance compared to like a 15% chance. Not that level of detail, but just so you know, certain things you're going to do next are going to hopefully work. When you're passing from three tackle zones to a catcher in four tackle zones, then, you know, that's probably what you should do last.
Yeah.
You know, on the last turn to try and win the game, because then it's obviously worthwhile doing. So I do, again, to back up D, I massively recommend it.
Great.
Yeah, don't make one D blocks with no block. Yeah. Stuff like that.
Well, you say that, but if you're a Skaven lineman, it has the same chance of working as dodging away.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes it is the right
thing. Yeah.
But no, cool. So, sort of basic advice and probability advice, probably for newer coaches, would you say?
Yeah, massively. I mean, and also, but it's kind of like people can tell you stuff and it just goes in one ear and out the other.
Yeah, yeah. But if you get a chance to read it, it
takes a little while. So it's a combination of, you know, friendly ongoing advice, a bit of game experience, a reference to look at, and all like this BB Tactics websites and all that sort of stuff, and just kind of sticking with it and showing perseverance. Really, I think is the main thing.
Correct.
I kind of think it's something that everyone has to go through, that kind of,
yeah, I mean,
you've got to take your beads.
Yeah, absolutely. I played Blood Bowl for a good 7 or 8 years before even getting the cyanide game,
right?
And then joining OCC, I've learned so much. I've been playing for a while. Like, everyone can learn something, I think.
Definitely.
There's probably some people who are a bit good, but
what I really liked actually this season is the SCC, I think Smoked was the admin for that tier, and he put in his like first posts some links to, I think, the Thousand Losses playbook you put in, and certainly to the BB Tactics site as well. So if you were a new coach coming in, I think it's good to have that sort of front and centre to look at. Because I think if especially when you start multiplayer from just the single player experience, it can be a bit overwhelming. And with the quality, I mean, again, it's bigging up the OCC, but we have got good coaches here, and you don't want to get thrashed for 9 matches because you'll never be playing again. So, you know, if you want to look for that help, I think it's a really good idea, Smoked, to get it front and centre.
I'm down with that, because I think, you know, it's in everyone's interest to keep player retention.
Yeah, definitely.
I raised it last year, and it's kind of as incumbent on that, on the more experienced coaches and the higher tiers. You know, if it's your thing and you're interested in doing it, I know everyone hasn't got time and some people don't care and whatever, but I do kind of think there's, you know, it's a kind of altruistic to make a contribution for new coaches.
Yeah, definitely.
And I have to say, it made a difference if the other playoff guys and some of the other people hadn't piped up to help. I just got pissed off and longed it off.
Yeah, when I first joined OCC, I played Skaven to start with. And a coach called Uriel, who was on the previous OCC podcast, such a good guy. He used to watch the replay of every Skaven match each week and post what you did wrong.
Yeah.
And, you know, occasionally, I think it's fair to say it came across as a little harsh.
Yeah.
But it was actually really useful.
Yeah.
It improved my game so much. So
it was Finnish as well, so that's probably polite.
Yeah. Okay. You know, I think it's worth saying, brilliant to everyone who helps newer coaches out. It's really nice.
Maybe it should be a badge or something.
I piped up about that last season. It should be a badge, a little like a Padawan and Jedi Master badge or something.
We'll leave that out there.
Also, your pro elf team, the Von Doom Hellions, how are they getting on?
Bit of a disastrous draw, really. It's not bad, but I think any chance of promotion, barring an amazing set of results, is long gone. I mean, had an awful season 27. What are we on now? Season 26 was awful.
So we're here with season 27.
Yeah, and this has been all right. But I think I've got 1 win, 2 losses, 3 draws, which
I should just look it up.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually my best run of results.
1-3-2.
Which, I mean, I was looking. I've got a little spreadsheet because I'm a geek. But I think my touchdown averages or my net touchdowns is -14 over 3 seasons.
Right.
I mean, last season was heinous. And actually, you know, haven't lost in 3 is probably my best run I've ever put together.
Right.
It's okay. And actually, this season is a little better. And a couple of games that maybe if the dice had gone another way, I would have won and, you know, all that sort of stuff. But
it's frustrating.
Yeah. I mean, certainly, you know, I know a lot of people say a draw is 2/3 of a loss. And they're definitely right. But at the moment, a draw is a third of a win for me. And that's a big improvement. But it's good. I mean, I've learned a lot. And, you know, I'm drawing or losing by really, really, really narrow margins. Right. And that's a real encouragement. And I'm definitely feeling like I'm really in the mix with some games and I could be winning them. But it is a little problematic with Hellions. I've got a massively bloated TV, which I'm sure someone will relieve me off at some point.
Right, yeah. But that's one of the things, AV7, that can happen at any time.
Yeah, exactly that. Definitely. But it's causing me problems. You know, it's like I gave away 650 TV the other day, gave away 300 last match. And I know for some of the more experienced coaches it's not a lot, but I think it's interesting that the games I've won, I think I've only won 4 or 5 games in the OTC, tend to be when I have the lower TV and I'm not giving away inducements. As I'm more experienced as a player, you know, I know to expect the lightning bolt, I'm being more careful with my setup, so you know a fireball doesn't blow everyone out, you know, I know that I can't look to stall if someone's got a wizard, all this sort of stuff, and to expect the fouls, and you know, I'm getting a bit more shrewd. But I did want to get promotion because I'm concerned that if my TV continues to bloat the way it is, that I'll be facing another season where I'm just giving away a lot.
Would you believe that I am suffering the same thing with my halfway team? I'm 1400, something
that's
like
crazy
that, the guys in tier 5 do not have enough team value. I could put that out there, guys. Get more team value in tier 5 because I'm sick of not having Deeproot in my team. And I even gave away 40k one match. Like, that's just unacceptable.
But conversely, I bet there's not much tackle down there either. So
yeah, you say that. There's usually one or two.
Yeah, I'm nudging like 1850 TV wise at the moment, and this. And I've got some amazing players.
Yeah.
But also I kind of broke my team with the build. I mean, another thing's always worth checking on the thread, that the way to a 17, I looked at all the threads, I was like, oh, right, yeah, take plus MA. And but it actually left me really lacking skill-wise. So I've got some stat freak elves, but I've been really low on sort of dodge and some of the key skills.
So that was going to be my next question. Yeah. Do you have any standout stars on your team then?
Yeah, it's got to be Zern Eagle Eye, so I'm like, you know, plus MA, plus AG rower, like with accuracy. Nice. So, beautiful. That AG, I mean, it got me a draw in my match yesterday against Raison, you know, dodged in, picked the ball up, dodged out, put a long pass in
you're long bombing 75% of the time then?
No, not at all. That's madness. But two games.
But I mean, you can.
Yeah, two games this season. More, it's the movement and the agility.
Yeah.
Playing the high elves, he got tackled, lost the ball because I've been stalling stupidly. The ball went into the crowd. The crowd threw it back right by my touch zone, and even from knockdown with that MA, he was able to get up, dodge out, get over there, pick the ball up, and then put a really long pass into the halfway line.
Gets you out some
holes. Yeah, really, really, really does. Mm-hmm. I mean, also Draken Hatamzi, my catcher, who's touch wood, might make superstar, but guard, mighty blow, dodge, block.
Nice.
Yeah, he's a really nice. Very
two
useful
doubles
piece.
Then on there.
Yeah, and I've got a lot of guard. Teagle Rolarian, my lino, is pretty good. Plus one strength wrestle, useful on alignment. Mm-hmm. It's a good team, but AV7, you know, you're dicing with disaster.
What your blitz is like? I've started, I think, 3 matchmaking pro elf teams, and within 3 matches, all my blitzes have died.
Not bad, actually. I've got one niggled. Who have we got? We've got Lucius Ironblood. He's got what, guard plus one movement dodge. No, I think he's only got the 2 skills. And we've got... Oh, I feel bad. I feel like somehow disloyal for not remember his name. And Kurgan the Rough. Yeah. Kurgan the Rough, who's dodge, tackle, block with a niggle. But I mean, he's played 23 games.
So I guess compared to your catchers and your thrower, they're not levelling as much because you're using them to just hit people rather than score touchdowns and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, they're useful for a lot of stuff. Basically, but I mean, why would you? I mean, I think Lucius Ironblood picked up a touchdown the other day, but it's more out of necessity than choice.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, one of the things you learn is always look for building in those rerolls. So you want a nice short pass with a catcher to a thrower, and then, you know, with a handoff with no risk. Mm. So, yeah, that's the way to do it. But yeah, it's a good looking team. Last match, I really missed kick. That's a vital, vital skill, particularly
for elves.
Yeah, absolutely. When you're looking for the stall,
I hate kick skill.
Yeah, it's absolutely vital. And my kicker, Gleed the Grim, one of my most important players. You know, if he went down, I'd probably look at dropping an apothecary on him, depending on where we were in the match. But Kicker is an absolute must. But yeah, it's a good team. Yeah, so it's bloating in tier five at the moment.
Okay, we need like some Cavs Dwarves or something to come along.
Yeah, it's all right.
I trim the fat.
I've got lizard men next week. I'm sure they'll do their best, but.
Strength five frenzy tackle source.
Yeah. In fact, I'd set up for decimation. That's 1 in 10. You know, I could probably cope with that. But annihilation more likely. But yeah, okay, that's enough for me. That's my team.
Oh, cool. So final question then. You're going to stay with them for next season? You've got no plans to re-roll?
No, certainly not. It's too good a team to re-roll. Pro elves for the win.
Okay. The coaches I've got here with me today, Brother Kane and Dee, they're noted for their other skill on the OTC boards, which is their fluff writing, their match writing ability, which I'm sure we'll all agree are a great read. So, could Dee, you go first and just talk briefly about how you got the idea and what you do, most of all, I think, to stay motivated to write those match reports each week.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the match reports. I don't know why, I just think it was more a sense of wanting to contribute, and I enjoy a kind of a bit of fluff, I guess, really. It kind of, it pads the game out, keeps my interest, livens it up. When I was in the lower tiers, I looked jealously at the upper tiers and everyone's amazing teams and all this kind of backstory and the really big players, and I thought, you kind of need a bit of this in the lower leagues. And I don't know, I just kind of fell into it. I'm talking about motivation, it's funny that you hit upon that. I mean, last season was really tricky when I'd lost like 4 or 5 games, and you're like, oh man, I don't want another another match report. It's like, yeah, I screwed it up. I played really badly, lost another game, and it kind of tailed off about mid-season. And I've said Golden Quill actually really, I kind of knuckled down and rallied for that. Whereas, but also, it's hard work writing these reports. It's actually surprisingly difficult and takes a lot of thought. And it took a little while to get it sorted. But I really enjoy contributing. I really enjoy them. Almost, I enjoy the kind of fluff almost as much as the game, kind of. Mm. I know that sounds kind of silly, but I enjoy writing it.
Well, yeah, so for me, I really got into it because I kind of wanted to share a little bit. Like, I saw this section, and when I first started doing it, there was not very many match reports going up, really. Yeah. I mean, I know there are kind of loads at the moment, but there were virtually none. And I just thought it'd be quite nice just to write a few things and let other people know about what was going on in my games. But I started off with a very much just like blow-by-blow, action-by-action recording of what happened.
And sure.
Not the dice rolls, but very much just a pure description.
Yeah.
And now I got kind of bored of doing that, so I just switched to this pure fluff kind of write-up with, I've got Grandpa Marathon explaining his Blood Bowl days to his grandson Crumble. For me, that just became a little bit more creative, and I enjoy that. And I know I don't put the numbers down, I don't say, and he passed here and they moved there. It's just a sort of more like a little story. I find that more interesting to write, and hopefully people find it interesting to read. But talking about motivation, it is interesting because I don't always write one. It's like, if I just had a boring 2-0 grind loss to Dwarves, I don't bother. It doesn't work for me. But if I've had something interesting, like, it's not necessarily if I've lost or won, it's just if something fun has happened in the game.
Yeah.
Now, as halflings, you could say that something fun happens most games, but failing dodges to leave yourself wide open isn't always interesting, or a one-turn touchdown isn't always interesting. Now I've got like AG4 flings running around, but when double-decker scores a touchdown, or I play an orc team and they get 7 casualties against them and I get 1, things like that, just something fun or a milestone for a player, that kind of stuff is what I find a bit more interesting now for the fluff writing. Yeah, so that's really why I do it. Just like I say, there is a bit of sort of contributing. I did notice actually a while ago that you get gold pieces for writing match reports. Creating threads in the I don't know what the trigger is, but I guess it must be creating a new post.
Yeah, because I earn loads.
Yeah. Yeah. At one point, I was the highest
earner,
the wealthiest OCC-er.
Wow.
Until they brought in the new
as is, and Bob is. Like,
yeah, the system got revamped recently.
Yeah.
Well, a couple of seasons ago, I think it was. And now I'm not, but also I spent it all on bounties. those of you that are addicted to gambling, get yourself some match reports and you'll be freer to gamble.
Any advice? Two pieces of advice to any prospective writers out there. What would you say, Brother Kane?
Ooh, I think, for me, the biggest piece of advice I could say is try not to get too caught up in it. Don't make them too long, especially if match reports become really popular.
Yeah.
People won't always spend the time to read them if they're really long. If you're a professional writer and you're really good at it, then sure, maybe go ahead. But yeah, I always try to keep mine reasonably short. So yeah, that's my advice, I guess.
Dee, what do you think?
That's some good advice. I would just do it. I think a lot of people get put off and think, oh yeah, maybe my match reports won't be that good. But it's just like, do it. I'll read it and rep you. It's like, everyone has to start somewhere. Yeah, and I definitely think, you know, that it can also be a good way to be reflective about your match as well. You know, I've certainly benefited from reviewing the log and watching the match again. That sounds a bit corny, but it's a good way to
definitely
reflect on it.
Definitely.
Also, I found it beneficial reading other people's, particularly some of the Pro Elf ones as well. Some of the Pro Elf guys put out there have been really useful. And it's like, oh, right, okay, that's what you do with that player. Okay, that's a good idea. Mm. I'd say contribute, do it. And I have to agree with what you said about kind of keeping them concise. And also just don't turn it into a labour and a chore. I felt a bit like that last season. I just got really peeved with it. It's just like, well, just kind of write a match report when you fancy. But yeah, I'd encourage everyone to do it. I really enjoy reading them. I really think it livens the place up. As a relatively new coach when I first joined, it's like it's really encouraging to see an active and thriving community. I think it hopefully will probably help with player retention as well. Yeah, that's kind of my two cents worth.
Great. Fantastic. Okay, so let's see some more match reports for next season. Right, okay, so the next thing we're going to do then is have a quick look at Tier 1. We're about midway through the season now, so with the aid of Brother Kane's iPad and the internet, we're going to have a look at Tier 1 without being too noisy with the mic as well. So if there's any noises off here, it's because we're moving around. So I'll have a quick read of who's top. So at the moment, it's Nolgum Vompey by Moncat, who's undefeated actually at the top of League One.
Yeah, shout out for Moncat for that.
Yeah, five games played, 1-3, drawn 2, and has got plus 6. Closely followed by Kingdom of Nirvana by Dion.
Dionysian. Like, that's a Greek god, isn't
Dionysian,
it?
Dionysian.
My classics teacher will be very cautious. who's actually played 6 games but is on equal points for 11. So, Brother Kane, do you want to talk us through the rest?
Necro Mirror match coming.
Yes, I was going to come on to that, yeah. And then we've got Romances with Wolves at Kirillus, our previous guest and previous champion, who's on 10 points. Closely followed by G-Car and the Orca-Cola Care Bears, and Goosia and the Neo-Marxism on 9. All of these have played 6. Oh no, sorry, Akirillus has played 5. Then we got Loophole with the Last Laughs on 8, Fly Scarface on 7, Errant Saint down on 5, Evil Squall on 3, and bringing up the rear, Imaginary Friends by Tobrag on 1 point.
So really, it kind of depends on Akirillus and Moncap's game. And is that the mirror match coming up?
That is. It's not only coming up. I believe they are playing
now?
It as we speak.
Oh my god, that's exciting.
Yeah, I was looking this
what
up
planning?
This morning. And yeah, I mean, it's pretty big, because if Moncap wins, then he will be away for 3 points clear. And if Kirillus wins, then he will be in the lead by 2 points. So it could shape the season.
Well, all I'm going to say is, G-Car, you've failed me. Because I tipped you last week and you're on 6 points. Sorry, you're on 9 points. So you've got an outside chance, but come on. Come on, son.
But 3-0-3, I mean...
That's 3 losses.
That is 3 losses.
I haven't seen his team, but...
I was having a look at the graveyard earlier and the general stats for the division, and G-Car is leading Punching Bag with 102 knocked downs, which might be part of the problem. I don't know, I'm no expert, but I have a feeling that Wood Elves that get hit a lot are not...
not effective Wood Elves.
Yeah, and Moncap's actually only conceded 2 touchdowns in 5 games.
What?
So yeah, doing pretty well. There's some stats there. Also, I noticed on Pestilent Ties, Eagle Squall, I think he's having a bit of unluck. given that he's lost a 50 XP and a 40 XP Noble Warrior.
Ow.
And a bunch of other stuff. And obviously, Noble Team have all got regens, so,
so sad.
A lot of deaths going on there, which is possibly, yeah, just a bit unlucky. Perhaps it's not going to be his season there.
I weep.
Yeah. It's always sad to see a superstar or legend die, unless they're a dwarf.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah, and I did also notice that Edgeril Sidewinder has died.
good.
Which and that was whilst playing for GCAR.
Right. Careless.
Yeah. So you know, watch out for that. I guess maybe he failed a hypnotic gaze.
Yeah, ended up next to someone.
Yeah, GCAR. Maybe one for the post bag GCAR if you'd like to explain how that one happened.
OCCpodcast@gmail.co.uk if you want to let us know. But yeah.
Yeah, so it's still, I mean, still quite tight at the top, with the top five all within 2 points, unless Moncap gets this win tonight.
Mm.
I guess the best thing for the division would be a draw, keep everything tense.
Yeah.
But I think, I'm torn. I've met Moncap. He taught me how to do videos that I do for my match days, but you know, we had a good chat with Tony last time, so
Tony was good.
I think I'd go for a draw there. That would be good.
That plus six touchdown difference,
pretty big.
Could be
looking at that in my division, and it's you know, so it's a decisive thing, that touchdown difference.
Who did you tip last week, George?
Last week well, because you'd already tipped GCAR, I went for Errant. He's letting me down horrifically. I'll have to have a word with him about that. He's 1-2-2 at the moment. So, I don't know. I seem to remember reading somewhere about a bit of bad luck for him, but do better. I'm rooting for you. Gotta prove me an expert by winning.
And Dee, who do you tip?
It pains me to say, but I was actually really hoping
three games left.
I was really hoping the Woodies would win it this season. Actually, to be honest,
they are still
Elf power.
It kind of sticks in my throat, but they're just slightly less hateful than Dark Elves, in my opinion. Ooh. But I'd rather see an Elf at the top than not. I don't know about this kind of rising tide of Woodies percolating around in like the second division and stuff, but I don't know. I've been watching with interest, really. It's a very open division, pretty solid. A lot of Necro teams. I'm kind of glad I'm not up there. Yeah,
we discussed it last time how the balance of races is interesting this time, very different from some previous years. And nice to see Gushia still right in there.
Yeah, definitely.
With the neo-Marxism. Korn have never won it. I think he was the first person to take Korn to tier one.
Oh, so, wow. Props for that.
Yeah.
Controversially plays without a Bloodthirster as well. So yeah, I think we should get him on.
I think we should.
Have a chat with him.
We should.
That's a big call.
Gushia, get in touch.
Yeah, get in touch, man. We'll quiz you. Okay, so that's tier one. We're gonna have a quick look through the divisions to see how things are lying, really, just to see if anyone's been undefeated or if there's anything crazy to report. Like I think we've got someone with a plus two teams, actually, with a plus 15 touchdown.
Yes, we do.
Differential,
we'll come to those in a minute, but so just scrolling through the all division match all division standings thread that Dia Von Doom was promoting. It was a good idea. We're wholly behind it. It makes our job easier here. We've still got quite a few coaches undefeated at the moment. Not very many perfect records, but there's The Real Chris and Elphick, both in 2A with no defeats so far. Yedi on 5-1-0, so doing pretty well there.
That's good, 5-1-0.
In 2-2-2C. Bantha and Tis123. Both undefeated and 2D.
Both good teams.
Yeah,
solid teams.
3A, Smiling Tom. There is a completely defeated coach, Dino 006 at the moment.
Harsh. So, unlucky Dino.
Very unlucky.
Wonder what's gone on there. I'd like to know the story of that season.
Yeah.
What's he playing?
He's playing High Elves.
Wow.
So minus 7 for him. Yep. Ouch. Probably some unluck.
Not fooled.
Yeah, Yarat is Yarat MX01 is 510. Magfa 510.
Magfa, Jesus.
I do.
It's my league.
I do dislike that Dwarf team. I've played it before.
Yeah.
Maniel on 330 with ORC.
Unsurprisingly, an Orc team.
Hobnail.
Hobnail. Hobnail.
The Hobgoblins are undefeated still.
Yeah, there's been a lot of quacking.
Hobgoblins. Yeah, well, I mean, full respect.
I
defeated that Hobgoblin team with my Halflings last season, so...
That means you're better than him.
Clearly, obviously.
We talked about this last week.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, props for that. Because there's a second Hobgoblin team now, isn't there?
Yeah, RTSD has got... can't remember the name of the team now, but we'll come to it.
I mean, is that those teams that are just straight like hobgoblins?
So they're all basically hobgoblins, but they can take the Minotaur. Just no Bull Centaurs or Chaos Dwarfs.
Okay.
Yeah. And essentially, I know with Hobnail, the plan is basically foul everything in sight.
Yeah. Are they like 6'3"?
6'3", 3'7".
Yeah.
Gnarly.
Yeah.
But general access only.
I think the first skill on every player in Hobnail's team is Dirty Player.
It's a bold choice.
Yeah.
How much are those retailing at? Like 40k in alignment or something?
Something like that. Yeah, they're not very expensive. 50 or 60 maybe.
Imagine wanting a deep roster fairly quickly.
Like, yeah. Full,
props
full roster.
For that. I love that sort of stuff.
Yeah, we love the fluff teams.
Definitely.
Ithoric is another defeated team, so Dino is not on his own. The guy who we're not going to pronounce his name right, but Tlaxloalpec, let's go with that.
I think it's Texalahopec, it's kind of Aztec-y. Right, well, played him last season, good player. They split the Black Thorns.
Yeah, 4-2-0 for him and plus 15 touchdowns.
So yeah, he had Wood Elves again.
Plus 5-0 match against, I think it was Grumpelkins or something.
Yeah, obviously rolling humans. In. And
it's in Bobsoll riding pretty high.
Yeah,
well.
Bobsoll in my division.
Yeah, I played him last season. He's a good player as well.
6-0.
Skaven, 6-0-0. Yeah, and plus 15 as well.
Plus 15. That's about as many touchdowns as a score.
Yeah, right. He's got, if I remember correctly,
plus 10 MA Guffa runner. Yeah,
at least
yeah,
two.
Yeah.
Definitely got one, like, doesn't even have to be pushed.
Yeah, yeah.
Guffa runner and a couple of others who
it's
are.
It's pretty good. I stamped on him really quickly last. Yeah. Last got him out of there.
Yeah,
pretty
quickly. Doesn't enter the pitch very often.
Yeah.
Got a game when he does. Dara Yewas, my hero. 4-1-0 at the moment. Obviously, he got a match down on a lot of people, but he's.
That's great. As flings, that's unbelievable coaching.
Yeah,
isn't
yeah,
it? That's not luck,
yeah,
is it?
Yeah,
the man is a genius when it comes to flings. I need to keep,
yeah, that's
keep
impressive.
Looking at his replays to learn more.
That's impressive.
And then RTSD, the second Hoblin team, 3-3-0. So that's
crazy.
More draws and a couple of defeated coaches as well down in 6B. Wismahill on 0.
Yeah, big shout out Wismahill. Yeah.
We've been
big love.
Yeah.
Have a hug.
Misunderstood. Keeping it real, bro.
Yeah, definitely needs a hug, I think.
Oh, man.
But he's not alone in his division, though. So when they play each other, perhaps they will end. Captain Thorek is also 0-0-6 and minus 11. So hopefully that's also bad luck. And Boon Cabal, 0-1-5. Switched from halflings to ogres. He loves the stunty, clearly.
He's a stunty.
Yeah. Couple more undefeated in 6D. Philodeus and Narg. Big shout out to Narg, came to the TT, the Welsh Open this year from France. Good to meet him. So
good work.
Doing well with that undead team there, I think it is. And Serenyi, 5-1-0. So lots of undefeated coaches at the moment. So yeah, well done, guys. Keep it up.
Props.
See if any of you have made it to the perfect season by the time we do our next podcast.
Yeah, it'd be good to see for those coaches to play those coaches and get those fouls in. Make sure they don't get the perfect season.
Definitely beating them, especially those hobgoblins. We cannot see.
Yeah, we can't see that. That cannot stand.
Hobnail will be unbearable if that makes it all the way to the end.
I mean, his posts are already quite smug, aren't they? So.
Really smug. They have their own thread in the dugout to me. Come on. Sort it out.
Don't let me down. Okay, so you've also probably noticed in your tiers that the decisions... It's decision time again.
It's decision time.
Did it happen... Did it come quicker every year?
It's like Christmas. Yeah.
I think it's a little earlier than normal this time. But Pippad's pretty organised.
Yeah.
So
he's got a holiday planned and he wants to get it done.
Maybe that's it, yeah.
Okay.
But do remember, you can always change your decision right up to the deadline, which I don't have to hand, but it's not... You know,
soon. I think it's like the 30th. I think it's like 30th.
It'll be around the end of the season, so you've still got some time. Don't hastily put that you want to quit and then leave just because you can't change your decision. You can always come back. Yeah, so do get thinking about that.
We've also got the new restructure of the top tiers. It doesn't affect, I don't think, any of us here because we're lower tier coaches.
Yeah.
But for some of the guys in tier 2 and tier 1, I think the best thing to do is read the thread carefully, look at the coloured spreadsheets. And then, if you've got questions, refer to PidPad, not to us, because we don't.
Or do what I do and just look at the information centre, see where you're playing. and go play 9 matches and don't worry about it too much.
Don't worry about it. You go down, you win, you lose. It's fine.
Yeah, and then find yourself in the Premiership or whatever they're going to call it. I can't remember.
Yeah.
And then when you win the division, you get all the plaudits.
That's fine. Another important thing, to spend your gold on is bounties. I know the bounty thread is partially updated, I think, and needs to be maybe pushed a bit more by the tier admins. I know you do loads of work. I know you do. I love you all. But come on, guys, push the bounties a bit, eh? Hey, come on. So spend some of that lovely gold on bounties. Bounty Bob can be easily searched and found in the forum, so get on to him. No more on my girls, please. I did have a bounty on Madonna, one of my star blitzers, and she got a broken collarbone and had to be retired. So that was sad.
But no one had put a bounty on.
But someone put a bounty on. But right. I think, cheatingly, I haven't actually told them that she's retired yet. So maybe I should do that and not be a massive hypocrite.
Yeah, really. Don't forget, if you do injure someone badly, check those bounty posts.
Check those bounty posts.
Some gold coming your way.
People are stinge bags as well. They need to up these bounties.
Although, having a quick look at the postings, Bob is maybe a little lax in updating the postings so that people are in the right division. I can see already that both Blue Moon and Hazrael for Thorn of the Bloody Rose in Hawker's team, I know from admining them that they are down in tier 3, but they're still listed as in tier 2.
Come on, Bob.
So come on, Bob. If you want the money, Bob, update those postings. Get those snotlings working.
Yeah, get them working, definitely. Now, it's hateful players. So which players has most annoyed us this week? So I'll go first because I've got some stories of woe. My last game was against Hoods. Try and whatever the team is, I can't even pronounce it.
Enzalokes.
Irritates me.
That one.
You see, they've got two strength 5 sources, and a couple of AG4 skinks. So I just generally hate lizards this week. Thankfully, his crocs died the previous week, so it wasn't too bad, but I still got 6 casualties, was virtually pitch cleared, and lost 2-1. So I was very sad, very cross. Is strength 5 sources, because all my girls are 8, well, strength 3 or strength 4. Well, I've got one strength 4 girl, so how can I cope with that? You know, simple cheating.
If you've got strength 4, you shouldn't be allowed to get strength 5. I mean, come on, that's just unnecessary.
That's right, yeah.
It's like getting a tree with plus strength.
Who would take that, though?
Larkstar.
Really?
He did. He had a strength
8. 7?
Huge, same as Deep huge mocker, it was, yeah. I believe, with strength 7. He accepted that he should have taken block. But at the same time, strength 7.
Strength 7.
Pretty good. But definitely cheating.
Okay, guest. D. Really hate.
So many to choose from. I've got a particular loathing, I have to say. It's a previous match day, but High Elf, Blitzer, and Amanda Rake on Chris's team. Oh, just pain in the ass. Pain in the ass. The sooner he's dead, the better. He seemed to just be dishing mighty blows to everyone on my team and seemed to score both touchdowns. And it was just... oh. I spitefully put a bounty on him, but he's not dead yet.
That is the way to use bounties.
Yeah, definitely. Hateful. Yeah. It's just hateful player. Get rid of him.
Play your game, have a couple of beers, put a bounty.
Quite right.
That's the way to go. So for me, as a halfling coach, it just has to be dwarves, basically.
Just all dwarves.
Any dwarf. Your whole team is designed to kill my team, and it's just not nice.
I feel like that.
Just all that tackle. You've got armor 9, so I can't even hurt you very well. I've got to knock you over and then foul you, really, to get you off the pitch. And it's just...
AV9 as well.
Yeah, it's just not fair, really.
Actually, I've got a horrendous Chaos Dwarf. I'm a Zon coach, and I've got a horrendous Chaos Dwarf team next. I've got 6 Dwarves. All of them have got guard. All of them have got guard. All of them have got guard. Some of Mighty Blow, I fear, for my team. I'm going to get an Apo as an inducement and just run away, I think. We're going to all sit on the...
I played a game
miles away
with my Dark Elves over in UK BBL against Dwarves the other day, and they had 10 guard pieces.
Oh, 10.
Harsh.
And so I got 3 apothecaries because I knew it was necessary.
Definitely.
Still ended up with some permanent injuries. You know, it's just my second hate, because I'm the host of that too.
Yeah, I had 2, so that's fair enough.
Yeah, gutter runners.
Just
gutter runners. Like, I played a game against Skaven where they had the ball for 3 turns and we drew 2-2. Just not fair. Why are you allowed to score in one turn without having to roll virtually any dice?
As the Dark Overlord coach said, Tiny fucking knives.
Tiny fucking knives. Tiny Let's get everyone fucking tiny fucking knives, kill gutter runners. That's the way to go.
Tiny fucking
knives. So yeah, no, I used to be a Skaven coach. I love Skaven, but I hate playing against them.
Right, so skills workshop now. Skills workshop. We're going to look at a series of skills that our players can have. BK is going to lead this one because he's got some controversial ideas, but perhaps controversial.
I'm not sure.
On sneaky gits.
Not sure they're so controversial, but yeah, sneaky git. A skill that hardly anyone takes, possibly with good reason. For anyone that doesn't know, sneaky git allows you to ignore a double on a foul if you do not break armour. So that is something that... it's an agility skill.
Yeah.
So hardly anyone takes it. I think because there's a lot of better things to take, really. I mean, dirty player is the obvious one. Yeah, I think the generally accepted advice is don't bother taking it because if you're going to foul... make sure you break armour. You know, get those players around the ball. I know, especially with halflings, it's worth deliberately putting three or four people on that guy.
Mm.
And so it's only going to really help you if you roll a double one or a double two or something like that. I think that the place for it is on stunty teams.
Yeah, definitely
stunty. Stunty teams where occasionally your positioning is really important to keep the cage going or to defend by stringing your players in the way, which I guess is more of a thing for goblins. As a halfling coach, I don't tend to defend very much. I just try and hurt people and make them score quickly. But it does allow you to chuck out a one-person foul with very low risk. And occasionally you'll get lucky and get some damage off that. So I guess that's the only place for it. I'm not sure I would go so far as to recommend it, but... yeah, underused.
I mean, it must be, D, if you were considering it for elves, because don't elf linemen get general and agility access?
I thought about taking it on my own.
You've got a DP, haven't you?
So. Yeah, niggle DP, actually, and I was contemplating taking it. I think the advice on the forum was, it's like, well, if you're going to be a committed professional fouler and drop the foul with him every turn, it's worth taking. In my first season in the OCC, I didn't foul once.
Get out.
Yeah, I know, sorry.
I've
got my act together a little bit. I did think about taking it, but actually I thought dodge was the better bet, but I can see it's got value.
I think that at the end of the day, you're going to take dodge first. You're probably going to take block first.
Yeah.
Because your fouler occasionally gets hit.
Yeah.
So you want him to survive. But by the time you're getting to your fourth skill with a dedicated fouling piece, you're probably getting too high, and they're getting a bit bloaty, because if you've got a superstar who's fouling and he gets sent off, that's a good chunk of your team value that is going off the pitch. So yeah, maybe second skill with a dedicated stunty fouler, because you're trying to protect that piece, I guess, but it's less important. That's maybe the time that I think it's worth considering. My dedicated foulers have never made it that far, so I haven't done it myself, can't practice what I preach, but yeah. It's maybe a controversial call, one for the post box. Anyone that thinks sneaky git is a good idea, let us know why.
It's not a bad punt, man. I think looking at my fouler, I think he's been ejected 4 out of the last 6 matches where he's fouled, and the majority, I don't think he's caused one casualty, and he's done one badly hurt. So a lot of the time there are no armour breaks, and you know, maybe sneaky git would have been quite handy.
Yeah, I guess it does help you eliminate that, first time I fouled.
Yeah, straight off he goes. Incautious foul a couple of times where I've been a little bit hasty, and it's like a player rejected. You know, you're defending a drive, and in retrospect you think, maybe that wasn't so clever, you know. But it's hard, it's tempting, you know, when someone's blitzers on the floor to drop the foul in. It's not bad call, it's a good skill probably.
Yeah, I think it'd be ideal for when you can easily score, but you can do a spiteful little foul on an opposition player.
The best kind.
The best kind, admittedly. Before you score, you know, maybe turn 8, turn 16, and you want a foul, but you think, oh, it's not worth the risk. But with sneaky git, I guess, you know, you're all right, aren't you? And then you get a stun and get sent off.
Maybe not. Guys, I do not endorse that play. Score the touchdown. Don't foul. But
I don't know.
Sorry, but I can't back that. We were discussing this before we started recording.
But it came to me really serious and looking at me like I've suggested a murder or something.
greedy blocks, greedy fouls before scoring. I can't. No, you just don't do it. I'm surprised that's not in the thousand losses.
It probably is.
It kind of is.
But my most glorious foul was a turn 16 on a troll and it died.
Turn 16 fouling. That is a thing that I heartily recommend. recommend. It makes you finish the game with a warm glow.
Yeah, it does.
But not
if you lost.
Not if you're about to score a touchdown. I suppose if you're winning 4-0, go ahead. But maybe that's too spiteful. I'm not sure.
Yeah. See, I don't want to talk about my games too much, but I'm going to now. Hood again passed to a Saurus to score his second touchdown when he beat me 2-0.
Nice.
Because I had two players left on the pitch who were at the other end, which I thought was
absolutely fair enough.
Yeah. Fair enough, but it hurt me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I cried a single solitary tear went down my face when the handoff worked. The Saurus ran it home. There we go. So if you meet that Saurus, please foul him with sneaky git or without. It's either's fine. Okay, so now we're on to a post bag. We've had a massive response to our call for mail and post.
What, from 10, 15 emails?
Oh, at least. At least, but most of those were swears. Most of them were swears and virtual dog shit posted through our letterbox. So I won't bother bore you on these, but I've got a series of questions here from the glorious coach RTSD. So I'll ask you a couple of these. So let's get this snapping quick fire.
Okay. And then see, no thinking.
So yeah, see what you think. Okay. So question the first. Which green suit comes out of an OCC admin brawl victorious?
Ooh.
They're all in there. They all enter, one leaves. Who is it?
So, my heart says Dode.
Yeah, Dode. I've not met any of these guys either, so...
But my head says Hawker, because he does karate. I know. Right. If it's a virtual brawl,
yeah,
then Zephyr, because he runs the forum.
Oh, Banhammer.
Yeah. Well, Doomy wields the Banhammer, but I think Zephyr could ban other green suits. But yeah, face-to-face...
responsibility.
I've met... Hawker and Dode. I haven't met any of the other greens. Oh, and Doomy. I've met Doomy first. But yeah, Hawker does karate, so I think he'll probably win that.
If you're doing their posting then, I guess you've not met any of these.
Doomy, because I know he's Scottish, and I reckon he'd hurl a bottle of Buckfast in your face when you weren't looking, and then just pile on you.
Yeah, great. Oh,
he might be horrified. You think he drinks Buckfast.
No, yeah. Wow. Oh, okay. What's that? I'm banned. Oh, no.
Hobgoblins, unbeaten season 27, when will you bow before their might?
Ugh.
So we were talking about this earlier. So if Hobgoblins are RTSD, have a word with your English, because this is really hard to read, or maybe my eyes. I've only had a glass of wine. So if the Hobgoblins are unbeaten for this season, when are we going to bow before their might?
Never, because, it would be a bit pretty freak occurrence. There's only two teams.
Yeah.
When there's 10 Hobgoblin teams all going unbeaten, then I think we'll admit they're OP.
As recently said in the UK election, when Hobgoblins win, the OCC, I will eat my hat.
Yes.
And my kilt.
There you go. You heard it here first.
D. Hobgoblins.
It's unlikely. I'll pledge to eat a quarter of a original issue Blood Bowl board.
Wow.
I'll eat that quarter of that board if they go a season.
I'm actually going to have to admit that once I am done with the Halflings, I may well re-roll the Hobgoblins.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Jesus
Christ. It's the hipster's choice. Beards and fixies and Hobgoblins.
I'm a bit worried, though, because I think I'm going to meet Hobnail in a couple of weeks at Gurt Bowl, and I'm a bit afraid he might knife me.
he's a lovely man.
Is he?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so... Next question. You have a 50% chance to win a match, with a failure resulting in elf bullshit taking the game from you.
My favourite kind.
Yeah. Or 100% chance to draw it, which path do you take as a coach?
Ooh.
That's a harsh
choice. That depends very heavily on what I'm playing with. If I am playing a serious team and I'm developing them, I'll take the draw. If I am trying to push for a league title, go for that win. But it's a 50-50% chance. With a reroll, I guess without, because 50%.
It's 50%.
50%. Yeah. It's tough call. With the Halflings, I'd go for it because I lose so often. The win would be magical.
D?
I'm so desperate for wins. I'd go for the win chance. Always at the moment. Yeah, I'd go for the win, definitely. I'm so hungry for a win.
Yeah.
Let's face it, the elf bullshit wouldn't definitely.
There's a 100% chance of it.
Oh, 100% chance of elf bullshit. Ooh.
Yeah.
That's harsh.
Well, so I'm interpreting the question.
But I'd still go for it.
Yeah. I think even having read the Thousand Losses playbook, even having it drilled into me all the time not to go for the Hollywood play, I always end up going for the Hollywood play near the end of the game. So I'd definitely take the 50% chance.
Oh, well, I mean, that's one of the things that the single player, the AI, doesn't do.
Mm.
Like, if it's a case of you've got to go for it to get the win, like, you should. Like, everyone should, I think. But... that's one of the things. If there's two turns to go, and the single player AI is going, it will still just play whatever
cage up in their heart.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, okay. Exactly.
I'm so good at Blood Bowl.
Exactly. So yeah, if you're right near the end of the game and that's the only way you win.
Oh, always. Okay. Are you excited or cynical of Blood Bowl 2?
So this is interesting because I'm a very vague playtester on Blood Bowl 2. I've played a few games. But I've also had some discussions with people who've done a lot more, and there are a lot of things that I think might be changes to the actual Blood Bowl rules.
Oh, no.
I don't want to go into details because I've signed a non-disclosure agreement, but I am currently highly cynical about it, I think, is all I will say.
Okay, well, I was excited, now I'm cynical. Dee, what do you think?
I'm not looking forward to it because I have to upgrade my already cantankerous old computer to even have a hope of playing it. No, I guess it will be good, but it's just inevitably, you know, you have to wait 6 months for all the issues to get patched.
Yeah.
If they do, definitely, it's not going to be a full roster of teams. And you wonder if in the desire to kind of make a marketable product and make it different, they're just going to tweak the life out of it. I'll withhold judgment. You know, I'm not a naysayer. Sit tight, but, you know, probably won't be interested for at least the first 6 months until it bottoms itself out.
I will be interested as soon as OCC is switching, probably.
Yeah, snap.
At the end of the day, that's going to be the thing that decides it for me.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm cynical about it, even before what you said there for the Kane. But to be honest, it'll be a day one purchase for me. I'm not going to pre-order, but I will buy it as soon as it comes out, and I'll, you know, give it a go and see what's what then. But I mean, hopefully it'll be good, but...
On that vein, I'll probably buy it on a day one purchase, I think.
Yeah.
Not because I've got any interest really in playing it, because kind of my interest resides with the OCC, but more the fact that it's kind of worth showing that there's a market for it out there, because otherwise there won't be any further development.
I guess there is that argument, isn't there? If we want it to be good, then we have to buy it to make them patch it.
And show it's a worthwhile investment. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a commercial decision, it's a commercial organisation.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a business, and if they're not selling shifting units, then they're not going to bother.
Definitely. And I think, again, you know, if they do change some of the rules, maybe it'll be a bit more modular this time, so you can just tick boxes and any extra rules they come up with they don't have. Like, for example, I quite liked the blitz rules in the current format. Not the real-time play, but the blitz rules with the potions and stuff like that. I thought that was good, because obviously the implementation of the cards would be too difficult for a computer game, I think. I don't know. I don't know anything about computers. So I felt the potions was good, but that was broken, wasn't it?
Yeah, it can be. I think some of them, like, I can't remember what it's called, but there's one where you effectively have a 1 in 6 chance of stopping someone else's player from playing, and that can just...
Yeah, turn the game.
They were too massively cheap and could turn the game. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm glad that most leagues, and especially OCC, don't use the Blitz rules. But, yeah, I mean, I think they added a lot more to single player than they do to multiplayer. Yeah.
Oh, that would kill me. I mean, I have an issue with kickoff events as it is. It's just, that's rage-inducing, you know, and you know, I'm a bit more mellow now, I'm a more experienced player, but it's just like sometimes you think, oh man, my game ruined. Yeah. Like, bam, thank you very much.
Thanks to the Rock.
Yeah, cheers for that. Yeah.
Cheers.
Yeah, it's like, oh, two blitzes. Yeah. Why, thank you.
I know what JBEX has as his signature, that to die from a thrown rock is the greatest honour a Blood Bowl player can receive.
It's true, but it's
at
not
the end
really
of the day, if Cyanide kills Double Decker with a thrown rock, I will literally throw my toys out of the pram. That will not.
Would you do a sneaky disconnect? You don't have to answer that question.
I'm gonna plead the fifth.
Back onto topic now. I think, you know, I'll sit tight. I'll get Blood Bowl 2 because it's just like, do you know what? For the amount of enjoyment I derive from the hobby, it's worth indicating that there's a market out there. You know, I'll sit tight until the OCC decides to change. I think, you know, I sort of concur with what you're saying there. Definitely.
Okay, super. And the last question: if you had to take a group shower with a Blood Bowl race, which would you choose? And you can't choose Amazons.
I think this is weird, but
if the cheerleaders were there, maybe the pro elves, maybe.
Oh,
don't know.
No. Don't look at me like most that.
But I don't know, it just weirded me out.
Who's going first on this? I'm not going first.
I slightly despairing for RTSD's sanity with a question like that. But
it's a good question. It's a good, great question.
Okay, fair enough.
Disease mine, maybe. Dee, what do you think?
Don't look at me, man. You want to go first? I don't know. I don't know.
A bit of goblin love, maybe?
No. Maybe. Maybe Norse, it'd be all kind of, you know, above board and Scandinavian and Nordic.
Oh, I imagine they do all the time, actually.
Like birch and
Norse team, for me, are powerfully homoerotic.
I wish they'd put some trousers on, Mara. Look at them. Dude, put some trousers on. You're playing Blood Bowl.
I guess Dark Elves, you'd at least get to share with the Witch Elves.
Yeah. Well, the female, aren't they?
Yeah, that's true.
I really dislike Witch Elves. I have a passionate hate for Witch Elves as a team. Really not. I really dislike them. They're the bane of me, and also they are really annoying pieces. And I think they're dressed inappropriately for professional sports, in my opinion.
they do dress inappropriately, certainly. Okay, well, thanks for that. And if you've got any other questions for us you want to answer, any pressing issues, maybe a bit less on the who would you have a shower with. But, you know, we'll take them as well.
We're going to throw it out that we will answer anything.
Yeah,
we'll make our guests answer anything as well.
Definitely. The email again is occpodcast@gmail.co.uk. Get that postbag full for next week. Okay, we're nearly at the end. Just finally, I've got the opportunity, I guess, of a TT tabletop tournament in a couple of weeks here in June, here in good old Bristol, the Gert Bowl. Should I go? What team should I play? It's my first... Bit of background, I played tabletop once on a visit to Newcastle in about 1995 and I got hammered. But I didn't understand what I was doing, to be honest.
So, but you understand how Blood Bowl works nowadays?
I think so.
You know, dice rolls,
I think so.
And so on, yeah.
How does the horse move again?
So, I mean, I would certainly encourage everyone to give TT a go. It is great. Full disclosure, I started off as a TT coach. I suppose you may have got that from my previous comments, but I love TT. I don't get to do it so much nowadays, but it's great fun. You get to, you know, face to face with the person you're playing and banter with them or whatever. I've met a lot of good people doing it. I think it's safe to say I've met only one or two assholes doing it.
Good ratio.
A very good ratio. And especially around the southwest, I know a lot of the guys that play, and I know a lot of the guys that will be there at Gert Bowl. And it's really good fun. If you're going for the first time, I'd recommend that you take a team that you have played before, not on TT, so that you understand them well.
Right.
If you try a new team whilst also getting the grips of not having the number of dice shown to you and where the assists are and the number of squares you can move, you know, it can all be a bit much at the same time.
Maybe not vamps then, no?
Yeah. unless you're a vampire expert, go for it then, in that case.
No way.
So I guess for you, I'd say take Zons.
Yeah.
They're a strong tabletop team, because tabletop tournaments tend to be low value for those people that... aren't aware, and few skills added to your team. I can't remember the Gert Bowl pack exactly, but a lot of things, it's sort of five or six skills added to your team, and maybe one double, that kind of thing.
So with Blanket Dodge, that could be...
That's why Amazons are really strong. And you start off with four Blodge players.
Yeah.
And I would recommend you do start off with all four Blodge players.
Definitely.
Norse and Amazon are quite strong.
See, Dwarf
purely because
a
of that.
Player as well,
probably, yeah. Whereas a team like Chaos, which don't start off with very many skills, generally seem to be not so strong. But by all means, play them. I've played Chaos at TT, and they're good fun sometimes. But yeah, just I'd say don't worry about team balance. Race balance and what's a good race to take. But just take someone you know.
Okay. All right. Great. Thanks for your advice. Do you ever play tabletop?
Years ago, very, very similar to yourself, way back in the midst of time, got absolutely pwned, like not knowing what's what. I think maybe next year I'll probably do a bit of tabletop when I've really got the game mastered. Kind of think it'd be a bit like, you know, if you're used to playing chess on the computer, and, you know, it handily highlights where the horsey goes.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a bit easier. Also, I kind of think it's a bit like... Anyone fool can play poker online, but actually sat in front of someone playing poker is a totally different pool of fish. She said, mixing his metaphors. But I can certainly see it would improve your discipline as a player, and I think a bit of tabletop would probably really, really improve your playing in the OCC. You know, something I'll definitely look at next year.
And you're not free at the end of July, no?
No, I don't have a team, but yeah.
I can always lend you a team.
Well,
I'm going to borrow a team.
Maybe you might look at the Welsh Open. I think Gert Bowl's a bit too soon. But
I would highly recommend that as many people as possible do the Welsh Open, because there's a lot of OCC coaches that have started to make it a regular meetup. We had some guys, I mean, Tribble and Narg both came over from outside the UK last time. Narg from France, Narg from Ireland, though he is French, and Tribble over from Sweden, I think it is.
Wow.
There's also Zulu comes over from Norway with his son. Dumi travels down, Dumi and Ali travel down from Glasgow, or have done for the last couple of years. So it's a good chance to meet up with some guys. And yeah, it's just really nice to meet people that you don't meet over OCC. You know, it's one of the things I miss about tabletop. I like the idea that in OCC you can do a long league and you can develop your players, which doesn't really happen in tabletop. But tabletop tournaments, it's nice to meet people. And I would say that's one of the best things about it.
Okay, great. Well, I think certainly for me, I think the Welsh Open is going to be a definite next year. I think so. End of January, isn't it? Early February?
End of January. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that Hawker will be taking places either soon or already. Yeah. So get yourself signed up, because it is a very popular tournament.
Yeah, I'm going to take some pros to that. I'm going to commit to that. That's my pledge now.
Excellent.
I'm up for it.
Great. Get a little podcast card going.
Definitely.
Right, yeah,
maybe we
could
podcast from the Welsh Open.
Well, I was thinking at Gert Bowl, I was going to interview people.
Gnarly.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Any OCC coaches I can identify. I need a spotter's guide, perhaps, if you can help me with that. If you're an OCC coach at Gert Bowl, make yourself known to me and I'll ask you a series of complicated questions. Okay, well, I think that wraps up everything more or less for this episode. Just shout outs left and future plans. So Dee, you're the guest, so you can go first. So any big shout outs to anyone?
Everyone in the OCC, really, without sounding too cheesy, but in particular all the other Pro Elf players who've been really helpful. Everyone who's been kind of supportive and helpful, both of me as a new player and also just the fluff. So yeah, well done guys, it's really good. And also contribute with those match reports, guys. But yeah, thanks to everyone, and I'm really, really enjoying the OCC. It's flourishing into a really enjoyable hobby, so thanks very much, everyone.
Okay, from me, Remthar. Again, I've been reading his match reports. I guess definitely fluff related, I guess, kind of theme for today. But yeah, his latest Dark Fling. The return of Cubbles has been fantastic to see him back broadcasting again for his match reports. So yeah, good, big up Remthar. We will get you on at some point. So I know you're in Oz, and it might be complicated, but yeah, we want to speak to you at some point because you're a great bloke and you write great reports.
For me, I wanted to shout out to the Tier 2 admin team. They've been doing some brilliant match day threads. So that's BJJ Hero, Errant Saint, Z Gagor, and Dino79. Match day threads, giving us information about some OCC celebrities, some facts you may not have known. Brilliant fun, good laugh. I'd highly recommend you check those out, and well done guys, because I'm really enjoying those. Something I really like are good match day threads, entertaining match day threads. So hopefully that comes out in mine. But
Definitely. Your songs are still fantastic.
I usually go through and read a lot of the match day threads, and I really like the Tier 2 ones at the moment. So yeah. That's my shout out.
Okay, great. All right, well, thanks, guys. Thanks for coming around. Thanks especially to Dee, who stepped in at short notice.
My pleasure, guys.
House around the corner. Just a note on the last of this season's podcast, which we're hopefully going to do towards the end of the season if we're all free. And we're going to do a live match report of a important game in Tier 1, if there's one. If there's not a winner by then, it's looking pretty close. Or maybe a top of the table Tier 2 game, if not. Me and Brother Kane have been talking about it. We're going to give it a go. Just think test match special, but OCC. That's what we're going to aim for. What you might get might be quite different. But
so are you
that's
Jeffrey plan. Boycott or Henry Blofeld?
Blofeld.
Yeah.
We should both be Blofeld.
Sounds good. Okay, so send your cakes in. And we'll eat them and talk about them.
Bit of Agger's love there, surely.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll need a guest, so yeah, we'll let you know. All right, thanks, guys.
For our foreign listeners, that's cricket commentary.
Wikipedia, I think, is your friend there.
Yeah, check it out.
Great. Okay, thanks, everyone. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.